chapter 6. In those days, when the number of disciples were increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said,
"It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from amongst you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word."
This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the Freedom, as it was called, who began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say,
"We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God."
So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified,
"This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us."
All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Chapter 7. Then the high priest asked Stephen,
"Are these charges true?"
"Brothers and fathers, listen to me. You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through the angels, but have not obeyed it."
When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look,
I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God."
At this, they covered their ears, yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were still stoning him, Stephen prayed,
"Lord Jesus, receive my spirit."
Then he fell on his knees and cried out,
"Lord, do not hold this sin against them."
When he had said this, he fell asleep. May God richly bless his word.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much for that great reading of God's word. On Sunday, July the 20th, 2003, I preached my first sermon at what was then called Church on the Rock, Rock Christian Centre. I'd been a pastor in London for 18 years, 4 years as assistant and then senior pastor from 1989. And I was 44 years old, so you can work out how old I am. And I was preaching on the 20th of July 2003 with a view to becoming pastor, but was not yet appointed as senior pastor. And I'm actually going to be preaching on the same topic that I preached on that occasion. But first of all, it'd be good if you put your hand up if you think that you were there on the 20th of July 2003. I know certain people are. Eugene and Eugenia would have been. Chyla would have been there as a 10-year-old. Hillary and Evelyn were most definitely there. Bernice was there, definitely. Pam was there, we think. I'm not sure whether John Byers Group joined with us at that on that occasion or not. Maybe. No, I don't think you were there on that occasion. Tricia was there. Oh, that's amazing. Faith and Elijah, a very pregnant Faith would have been there because she was expecting her first baby, Tiffany, at that time. So the title of my sermon on the 20th of July 2003 is the same title I'm using today, which is Making the Most of Your Hyphen, using the story of Acts 6 and 7. Today is my last sermon as senior pastor of Rock Christian Center, and I'm using that same title and that same Bible story of Stephen. I had actually thought I'd perhaps be preaching on my life motto, which is William Carey's life motto, which is expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. But I really felt that there's a beautiful way in which God is bringing this together. And I can talk not only about the past, but about the future as well. I've just seen Petros, and Petros would have been there. And I remember Yonifer was on Evelyn's back, tied around the back. And Daniel, a slightly smaller Daniel, was tied on Krista's back as well at that time. Wonderful. Excellent. Now, Pastor Prosper, when he preached a couple of weeks ago in the youth service, I don't know whether Prosper's here today, possibly not, but he actually mentioned the same illustration I'm going to use today, but he called the hyphen a dash, which in actual fact he's technically correct, because it is a dash between numbers and a hyphen between when you actually write out the numbers, but we will call it a hyphen as that's what I used last time. Some of us here are old enough to remember JFK. President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, considered one of the greatest American presidents, was assassinated in Dallas in 1963. JFK was world famous. He was the most powerful man in the world, and he had achieved an enormous amount in his 46 years of life. And I remember distinctly in those days we didn't have a television at home. In fact, we never had a television at home. My father used to read the Daily Telegraph. And I remember him getting the Daily Telegraph, and there was a photo on the front of the President Kennedy's car just at the point where he was assassinated on the front of that. And obviously my father must have exclaimed or something like that. And I remember sort of tucking my head under his arm or whatever and looking at this newspaper and seeing this image of a car. Now, I was besotted by cars, so that was of interest in itself. But I was aware that something very momentous had happened in the world, which I knew very little of as a four-year-old, but I was aware that something momentous has happened in the world at that time when JFK was assassinated in Dallas in 1963. The incredible thing is, despite all that John Fitzgerald Kennedy achieved, his gravestone, which I've got an image of, I believe, simply says, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, have we got it up there? That's it. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, 1917 hyphen or dash 1963. The first date records his entry into the world. The second date year dates records his exit out of the world. And all that he accomplished is in life is represented by the hyphen in the middle. It's just a gap between two appointments, a gap between birth and death. And you know, today, every single one of us are living in the hyphen of life. We are living in the gap between two appointments. God gave you life when you were born. Praise God. He gave you life when you were born. He appointed you to life. But one day, your life will end. And God has appointed for you a time to die. Do we believe that? You know, our times are in the Lord's hands. It's not determined in our own hands. At this very moment, each one of us is living in the gap between two appointments. You are living in the hyphen. You are living in the dash of life. What an opportunity. What a privilege. But also what a responsibility. And the question must raise up with each one of us is, what are you going to do with your hyphen? Are you going to waste your life? Are you going to waste your hyphen? Are you going to stuff your hyphen with money and possessions and career? Are you going to stuff your hyphen by serving yourself and looking after number one and forget everyone else? It's me who's all important, and I just want as much as I can possibly get for myself. Or are you going to use the hyphen of your life to count for something? Are you going to use the hyphen of your life to worship, honor, and serve Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you going to commit the hyphen of your life to the Lord and allow Him to make something far greater of the hyphen of your life than you could possibly make it? And as I look back, I'm so thankful that in 1979 that I gave my life to the Lord. I had all manner of plans for the hyphen of my life. All manner of selfish plans for the hyphen of my life. I didn't know how long it was going to go on. But I thank God that I committed the hyphen of my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when He called me to serve Him, I'm thankful that I was committed to that call and I was obedient to that call. And my testimony is that God has done far more with my life than I could ever have dreamt or imagined. You know, I could, because I was trained in agriculture, I could have been looking after a herd of cows for the last 41 years. That would have been very good. Actually, quite similar to the work that I've been doing. But I won't milk it. I won't milk it. So I won't go too far. But there's a tale to be told. But, you know, I could have just been living in, you know, in a rural community, looking after a herd of cows and occasionally sending them off to the slaughterhouse, which you can't do with the church congregation. And milking them for all you can, and et cetera, which also I'm very thankful I can stand and say I haven't done that either. But, you know, God, by me committing the hyphen of my life, God has made so much more for both of us, for Trish and myself, so much more than we could ever have dreamt or imagined. And all the glory goes to Him, doesn't it? All the glory goes to Him. But the question is, God can do so much more with the hyphen in your life too. If you will commit that hyphen of your life to Him, if you will allow Him to guide and steer your life, if you will allow Him to use you mightily in His service. And I want to encourage you to do that today. So, I've asked to be buried when I die. It's actually in my will, it's in our wills. And I hope maybe that a tombstone will be put up and it will look something like this. For those who didn't realize, my real name is Jonathan, not John. And that tells you the year that I was born, 1959, which is a very long time ago. I appreciate that. But unless Jesus returns first, there will be another year filled in. Now, it could be 2026. Maybe that's why I'm retiring. The Lord knows that he's going to call me home sooner than I was quite expecting. There's plenty of days left in this year. It could be 2026. It could be 2036, you know, when I would be 77. It could be 2046 when I was 87. It could be 2056, but I'd be 97 by then and making John Byer here seem like a young man. You know, but we could all put our name and birth year there, because there may well be a tombstone for you in the future. Don't want to be morbid, but that's a reality, isn't it? And it expressed to us that we're all living at this present time in the hyphen of life. And the question again is, how are we going to live our life in the hyphen years? You know, I've taken, I don't know, upwards of 200 funerals, at least, probably more. I've never come across anyone at the end of their life who said, I wish I'd spent more time at work. Or I wish I'd spent more time watching telly and films. Or I wish I spent more time scrolling the internet and playing video games. Or I wish that I spent more time amassing money and possessions. Most often when people are nearing the end of their lives, they wish that they have made their lives count for something. Something that would last beyond their lifetime. They wish so often that they'd invested more time in their relationships with their families, their friends, but also in their relationship with God. They wish that they'd spent more time getting to know the God that they're going to meet. And that's often when I've been called in the past, because people are dying and they're wondering, is there a God there? No. Am I going to stand before him? No, what is he like? Because I don't really know him. And it's been a privilege in one or two occasions to actually lead someone just before they die into a relationship with God. But what a shame that they didn't come into that relationship in a younger age. Are you making the most of the hyphen in your life? Because, you know, God wants each one of us to make the most of our lives. He wants you to make the most of your gifts that he's given you, the most of your talents that he's given you. Because one day, each one of us, you will have to stand before God and give an account of how you have used your hyphen. You'll have to give an account. And we will not only give an account to God for our achievements, but also our character, the way that we have lived our lives, how we have treated other people. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 13? He says, if I speak in the tongues of angels, if I have gifts of prophecy, if I have mighty faith to do miracles, if we're full of knowledge and I give to the poor but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal, a bashing drum, or whatever illustration. So it's not just about what we achieve, it's how we achieve it. It's about our character. It's about the way we express our lives. And the command in Scripture is love one another, love one another, love one another, forbear one another, love one another. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes it's a lot easier to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind than to love our neighbor as ourselves, isn't it? We rather wish they weren't sitting next to us in church. It's a challenge. How much love is there going to be in the hyphen of your life? How much of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is going to be in your hyphen? How much love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is there going to be in the hyphen of your life? How much mercy and compassion and justice and righteousness is there going to be in the hyphen of your life? You know, I've taken the funerals of some wonderful Christians. Wonderful, wonderful Christians. If we'd had a two-hour Thanksgiving service for their lives, it wouldn't have been enough to tell of all the beautiful aspects of their Christian lives and the way that they served the Lord and served other people. Full of good works, their whole lives had shone and radiated Jesus. They'd lived self-sacrificial lives, filled with overflowing with the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, blessing people wherever they went. How wonderful. Enormous privilege to take Thanksgiving services and funeral services like that. I've also taken the funeral of other so-called Christians, and there wasn't very much to say, sadly. They may have attended church, but on the whole, they seem to have lived selfish and self-seeking lives. They may even have boasted of their Bible knowledge and their spirituality and their prayer life, but they lacked the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They lacked that love. Their lives sometimes were inconsistent with God's word. So they preached one thing or told people about their Bible knowledge, but their lives didn't actually match up to God's commands in the Bible. And instead of shining for Jesus, sadly, some of them had put other people off Jesus because other people didn't want to be like them if that was a Christian. And that's a challenge. How will you use the hyphen in your life? So very briefly and quickly, let's look at this wonderful example of Stephen. How did Stephen use the hyphen in his life in Acts 6 and 7? First of all, Stephen was a Christian. You know, you cannot make the most of your hyphen, the hyphen in your life, without Jesus in your life. That is absolutely fundamental. Without surrendering your life, your ambitions, your desires, your future to Jesus, you will not be able to fulfill the hyphen in your life. Why can I say with such confidence? Because Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, life in all its abundance, all its fullness is through Jesus Christ. I have come that you might have life in all its fullness. If you're not a believer, if your life is not committed to Jesus Christ, you will not experience that abundance of life in your life, because it comes through knowing the author of life. Jesus is the author of life. God is the author of life. And it's through a relationship with him, it's through a relationship with Jesus that we can find life in all its abundance, life in all its fullness. And boy, does that make a difference to the hyphen in your life, to live that abundant life. Stephen had surrendered his life to Jesus. He was fully committed to the Lord. He was a surrendered Christian. He had the fullness and the abundance of Jesus in his life. Stephen was born into a practicing Jewish family. We know he was a Hellenist. He was a Greek-speaking Jew. However, he had heard the gospel preached at some point, maybe on the day of Pentecost. He'd heard that Jesus, the Son of God, had died on the cross for his sins. He had been convicted by God's Holy Spirit. He'd repented of his sin and he believed in Jesus Christ. And Stephen had discovered that the only way to make the most of the hyphen in your life is to be a Christian, is to be a follower of Jesus, to have Jesus as the Lord of his life. And as he submitted and surrendered his life to Jesus. So Jesus took over his life and made it far more significant than we could ever dream or imagine. You know, Stephen doesn't need a tombstone, does he? You know, here we are 2,000 years later and we know all about Stephen. We know all about his life. We know all about what he believed in. We know how he died because his life was surrendered to Jesus Christ. Praise God. Stephen had discovered that the only way to make the most of the hyphen in his life is to be a Christian, to have Jesus as Lord of life. And the challenge is, have you become a Christian? Is Jesus truly Lord of your life? Because it is possible to sit here in church and not actually have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And here on my last sermon here in the church, I just want to issue that challenge. You may have been coming here for years, but maybe you've never truly surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And what a joy it would be to have people surrendering their lives to Jesus Christ, surrendering the hyphen in their lives to Jesus Christ today, and saying, Lord, would you take the hyphen in my life and make it something that will bring glory and honor to you through my life. So Stephen was a Christian. But the great thing was, Stephen didn't just become a Christian and get baptized and then settle down into a mundane church life. By the way, and I say it to young people, I know some of you are considering it, it does say, repent, believe, and be baptized. You know, that's a step of obedience, getting baptized. And I hope that we will see in the early days of Pastor Will's ministry, more of the young people getting baptized and saying, I am surrendering my life to Jesus Christ. I'm surrendering the hyphen of my life to Jesus Christ. But Stephen wasn't one to just settle down into mundane church life, to come along on a Sunday and be about his business the rest of the week, forgetting about God. Stephen allowed Jesus to transform and fill every area of his life. Stephen got stuck in to serving God in every way. We know that from Acts 6 and Acts 7. It's all there. God doesn't want any of us to stand still as a Christian. It worries me when you ask someone their testimony and they talk about 20 or 30 years ago, I made a commitment to Jesus Christ. And that's when the story ends. And I've been coming to church ever since. But you know, our testimony should have what God has been doing in our life this year, this month, this last week. There should be testimonies of what God is doing in our lives so that we are living and we're living out that Christian life. And I hope and pray that in some small way, Trish and myself have been the example of that. So Stephen was a Christian, but what sort of Christian was he? First of all, it tells us Stephen was full of faith. Acts 6 verse 5 says, they chose Stephen. Why did they choose Stephen? Because he was a man of faith, full of faith, and of the Holy Spirit. So we know that Stephen really believed in Jesus. He really believed in Jesus because he had faith in Jesus Christ. We can say we believe in Jesus and then spend all our time worrying about this and worrying about that and everything else. But his faith was in Jesus. He knew he could commit his whole life to Jesus because Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he was full of faith. He put his whole trust in Jesus Christ, not just a little part. The whole of his life he committed to Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11 tells us, without faith it is impossible to please God. Now a few more of us should worry about that. We spend so much time worrying about the things around us and about the future and everything else, but we should worry about whether our lives are pleasing to God or not. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you want to please God, if you want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, at the end of your life, you need to be living lives that please God. You need to be living lives full of faith. Faith and trust, not in yourself, not in your family, not in your career, not in your bank balance, but in the Lord. Faith in the Lord. Stephen was full of faith. What about you? Are you full of faith in Jesus? If you want the hyphen in your life to count, you need to be full of faith in Jesus Christ, believing in Jesus, trusting in Jesus, expecting great things of Jesus. Secondly, Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. Acts 6:5. Stephen was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. That means that God was living in Stephen. He was within Stephen. If you are a Christian, God is living in you today, because we are born again by the Spirit. We're born again by the Spirit. So if we are truly born again, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. But how much of the Holy Spirit is living within us? Is it just a tiny bit? Well, Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. And that is exciting. That's dramatic. But, you know, and it's exciting and dramatic to be full of the Holy Spirit. But don't just settle for a little bit of God in your life. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Overflowing with the Holy Spirit in the hyphen of your life. Are you known as someone who's full of the Spirit? And as you go through life, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, when people knock into you in life, what comes out of your life? Well, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. If you've only got a tiny little bit of the Holy Spirit and you have to sort of turn the cup upside down and give it a tap to get a drop out, what do they get? Anger and, you know, bitterness and unforgiveness and all other things that shouldn't be there. God says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command in the Bible. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Stephen's life was overflowing with the fruits of the Spirit. And you see that in his selfless, sacrificial acts of service. He was clearly using the gifts of the Spirit. There were miracles and works of power that were taking place through Stephen. Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit, and God used him in mighty ways to make the most of his short hyphen, because he wasn't very old when his life came to an end. But boy, did God use his life. God uses people who are full of the Holy Spirit. What a difference we could make in this church, in Pastor Will's ministry, among our neighbours, among our friends, in this community of Burngreave, among our workmates, if each one of us was truly filled with the Holy Spirit. We would shine even brighter than we are shining now. Praise God. And I praise God that we do shine as a church. We are a lighthouse. That prophecy is being fulfilled. We shine in this community of Burngreave, but we want to shine brighter. I want us to shine brighter as a church under Pastor Will's leadership than we've shone under Pastor John's leadership. We want to see more of the Holy Spirit at work amongst us. So Stephen was full of faith. He was full of the Holy Spirit. But he was also full of grace and power. We read in verse 8 that Stephen was a man full of God's grace and power. He did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. So Stephen was being used by God powerfully. If you are a follower of Jesus, you can be full of God's grace and power. Amen? Amen. Isn't that what we want? Yes. More grace, Lord. More grace. We need that. More power, Lord. We used to sing that song, more power, more power. Power of the Lord working in this place. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you can be full of God's grace and power. God can use you powerfully in his service. God can make your hyphen, the gap between your birth and death, full of the power of God's Holy Spirit at work in you and through you. So it's not just come to be filled with the Holy Spirit to bless me. Oh, I feel so wonderful. Oh, it's so wonderful to worship and praise the Lord. It's through you to impact the people around you so that it touches everyone around us. No, God could use you. Yes, you. Yes, you who know that you're a sinner. Yes, you who know that you're a failure, but a failure who's been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. God can use you powerfully, powerfully in his service. You know, if you visit Church of England churches, and if you like going around Church of England churches, you'll usually see that there's a list of vicars of that church somewhere on the wall. And interestingly, you'll usually find there's a hyphen between the years they served. So if Rock Christian Centre had a list of senior pastors of Church on the Rock, Rock Christian Centre, it would look like this. Hopefully we're going to have it up on the screen. There we are. You see, 2000 to 2003, Kevin Bidwell, who planted the church. 2003 to 2026, we can fill in that date because I'm retiring. And so that's certain. Also certain, 2026, Will Bassett is going to take over, and we don't know how long, what the end date is, but unless he lives to an extraordinary age, it's going to be 20-something. And unless he stays here even longer than me, well, it'd have to be a lot longer than me. But anyway, don't worry about that. I do remember that when I took over from Kevin, Kevin begged me to stay for 5 years. He said, please try and give us 5 years. That was 23 years ago. So the hyphen between 2003 and 2026 represents all, not what I've done, it represents all that God has done in and through the leadership of Rock Christian Centre in the last 23 years. All God's works of power and grace, all the answered prayers, pray God, all the testimonies, all the amazing growth. You know, in those days we were like doing bus, the church on a bus with three seats either side of a central row in the upstairs. The only church in the world meeting in an onion pickling factory, and it stank, and it was great for ministry times because the tears flowed naturally and all the rest of it, you know. That dash represents all the worship, all the services, all the outreach, all the evangelism, all the projects that have started and grown and developed. It represents it all. But the question is, who wants to see God do even greater works of power in the hyphen of Pastor Will's leadership? Because I do. And I want to stand and say, I do. It's not about retiring. I want greater things from God in the future. I don't want this church to decline. I don't want it to take a step backwards. I want to see God working in greater power. And I want to be part of it, trying to keep up with what God's doing. Holding on to Pastor Will's coattails and thinking, this is an exciting ride because God is at work in the place, in the house. Amen? Amen. No growth and development and outreach and evangelism and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit at work amongst us. That's what I want as a retiring pastor, and I hope it's what all of us want. Not to be looking back to what God has done in the past, giving thanks to God for that, but looking forward to what God will do in the future. That is so important. And God wants you to be used, so filled with the Holy Spirit that God wants you to be used powerfully in his work and through your life under Pastor Will's leadership. Jesus commands us to be filled with faith, filled with grace, filled with Holy Spirit, filled with power for the building of God's kingdom here in Sheffield through the work and the ministry of Rock Christian Centre. So Stephen was a Christian. He was full of faith. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of grace and power. Next. Sorry, this is going to be a long one. Stephen was a man of action. I may as well go out on the long one. Stephen was a man of action. You can't sack me. He was a man of action. He was full of good works. He was full of servanthood. Stephen's fullness of the Holy Spirit was applied in practical ways. He was an action man. My son used to love playing with Action Man. Stephen was an action man. He took responsibility seriously. He got on with the job. He sorted out arguing women. Now, that is a miracle, isn't it? That needed a lot of grace and responsibility. Oh, yeah, I've got to be careful. My wife is listening. But he got on with the job. He took the responsibility seriously. Although he was full of the Holy Spirit, this is key. He was willing to serve at tables. Get that. He was willing to serve at tables doing mundane job so that he could release the main church leaders to concentrate on prayer and the ministry of the word. That's a word for us here as a church. Will you be willing to serve at tables doing mundane jobs to release Pastor Will and the leaders of this church to be able to concentrate on the ministry of the word and the ministry of prayer and a greater strategy of the things in the Lord? Because that is how the church works. That's how God works, isn't he? And you know, it's so key that we're all, including Pastor Will, willing to serve and do mundane things. It's vital that we do that. That is humility. That is true humility. That is true servanthood. None of this thing. You know, some of you are very uncomfortable when you see me, you know, picking up a brush and sweeping because pastors back in Africa or the Philippines, you know, don't do that sort of thing. But, you know, we should do because we're called here to serve. Jesus said, I haven't come to be served, but to serve. And we serve one another. Humility, we're not the answer. You know, we're not God's answer to everything. But recognizing that we are just but sinners in the hands of God. Because Stephen was faithful in what God gave him at that time in serving, God gave him even greater responsibility and honor. And it's incredible, really, because in chapter 7, Stephen wasn't one of the 12 apostles, but he preaches one of the greatest sermons recorded in the Bible. Isn't that interesting? He was willing to serve at tables, but he's the one who preaches one of the greatest sermons recorded in the Bible. Not only that, in verse 55, he sees the glory of God and heaven open. What a vision. What a vision Stephen was blessed with. His saintly martyrdom is a powerful witness to Saul, who's going to become Paul, the greatest evangelist of the church. Stephen was a man of action. He was willing to serve. He was humble, but God used him far more powerfully than he could have ever dreamt or imagined. What about you? Will you be a spirit-filled man or woman or young person of action in the new hyphen of Rock Christian Centre? Or will you stand by and watch Will and the leaders burn out serving Jesus? Will you make the most of the hyphen in your life? Or will you waste it? So Stephen was a Christian full of faith. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of power and action. And finally, and very briefly, Stephen was Christ-like. He was Christ-like. Stephen was so open to God in his life, so hungry to follow and serve Jesus, that he became like his master, Jesus. Stephen is described as being full of faith. You know, Jesus was full of faith in his Father God, wasn't he? What did he continually and constantly rebuke his disciples for? Their lack of faith. Well, some of you must have fallen asleep. Jesus, nearly every time he does a miracle, he has to rebuke his disciples for their lack of faith. And there's a message in that. But Stephen is described as full of faith. Stephen is described as full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Stephen was like his master Jesus. Stephen was full of action, and Jesus was certainly full of action, wasn't he? My goodness. It's a breathless ride when you read through the Gospels of all that Jesus did. And it said, didn't it, all the books in the world can contain everything that Jesus did. So he was certainly full of action. Stephen was like his master Jesus. Stephen was full of grace and power. He did great wonders and miracles among the people. And we're told in the Bible that Jesus was full of grace and power. The Gospels tell us that Jesus ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. He did great wonders and miracles among the people. And Stephen was not only Christ-like in his life, he was Christ-like in his death. Fullness of the Holy Spirit didn't prevent Stephen from suffering and dying a martyr's death any more than it did for Jesus himself. Stephen released his spirit into God's hands as he was stoned, just as Jesus released his spirit into God's hands, as God the Father's hands, as he died on the cross, as he was crucified. Stephen forgave his murderers and prayed for them as he lay dying, just as Jesus did from the cross. You know, that means that you can be Christ-like in the new season of Rock Christian Center. Jesus wants you to use your hyphen to be more and more like Jesus. You know, more and more like Jesus. As the Bible says, to present our bodies as living sacrifices, not to Jesus, not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you want the gap between your two appointments to be outstanding, you need to be a Christian. You need to be full of faith. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be full of grace and power. You need to be a person of action. You need to be Christ-like in every way. And Jesus calls us, as we come to a close, to be open to the Holy Spirit right now. In this time of change, this time of transition in the church, we need to ask him to fill us with the Holy Spirit. That we are filled with the Spirit, so that we are able to respond in the right way, in a spiritual way, to the change and the transition that is taking place. Filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we are like soft clay in the potter's hands. The potter is God. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then we are like soft clay that God can mold and make us into the shape that God wants us to be. To be filled with his Holy Spirit so that our lives can be poured out to be a blessing to those around us. God wants you and me to live exciting, fulfilling, purposeful, Holy Spirit lives. You know, that's not boring. It's not boring to be a Christian. It should be the most exciting life that you can possibly live. Because Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, life in all its fullness. Praise God. Let's stand together. Let's just reach out to the Lord. Right where you are, if you feel comfortable, just put out your hands in front of you. in a receptive way. And let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us afresh, to be the men and women, the boys and the girls of the people of God, full of the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit on us today. Lord, fill us afresh. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit, that we may be the person, the child of God that you desire us to be. Lord, may we be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we may be like soft clay in the potter's hands. Lord, would you have your way in my life? Would you have your way in our life? Lord, would you mold me and fill me to be the person you call me to be? Lord, we pray that particularly in this transition time. Lord, may we be collectively the people of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, the church of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit to be the people, to be the church that, Lord, you call us to be. Lord, to seek and to serve and to worship you, and to reach out with the power, the wonder-working power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. So fill us afresh, Lord. Lord, would you build your kingdom in our lives? Would you build your kingdom in this church, Lord? We pray to the glory of your name and the extension of your kingdom, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.